Human survival, it used to be all about running from literal
Yeah,
predators.
saber-toothed tigers, things like that.
Yeah, exactly. But today, I mean, our brains have evolved a completely new survival mechanism to avoid discomfort. And that is the excuse.
It really is brilliant, isn't it? The brain just creates this incredibly logical sounding narrative to, protect your ego.
Oh, for sure.
It just whispers, hey, it's not your fault you didn't do the work. You're completely off the hook. But while it keeps you feeling safe in that exact moment, it is quietly sabotaging your actual goals.
Which is exactly why today's deep dive into your source material is so critical. We're looking at week 9, chapter 9, which is called You Can Make Excuses or Money, but You Can't Do Both.
Such a great title.
It really is. And we are focusing entirely on day 3's work today. This is all about selecting and reflecting on quotes, not as like motivational fluff, but as literal cognitive tools to override that excuse mechanism.
Exactly, yeah. We are treating these quotes as a way to forcibly rewrite your psychological baseline.
So let's jump right into the workbook quotes. Coming at this from my background in psychology, I chose the Edward Everett Hale quote. It says, "The man who really wants to do something finds a way. The other man finds an excuse." I mean, this is just a perfect illustration of cognitive dissonance.
Oh, definitely.
When your actions don't match your stated goals, your brain just experiences this intense psychological friction. Excuses are basically the pressure release valve for that friction.
Right, they resolve the friction without requiring you to actually do the work.
Exactly. Adding this quote to your daily practice essentially jams that pressure release valve shut. You remove the psychological safety net, so you just have to sit with the discomfort until you act.
Wait, but from a psychological standpoint, isn't sitting in discomfort just going to cause more anxiety? Like, how does feeling guilty about an excuse actually help solve the problem?
Well, that's the point. The discomfort forces action. It demands a resolution.
Right, which is actually why the second workbook quote, the one I picked from Confucius, is such a necessary next step. He said, "He who blames others has a long way to go on his journey. He who blames himself is halfway there."
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah, neurologically speaking, it's all about where you are routing blood flow in the brain. When you blame external factors or make excuses, your brain signals, threat averted, no action needed.
Because it assumes the problem belongs to someone else.
Exactly. And that literally diverts energy away from your prefrontal cortex. That's your active problem-solving center.
Wow.
But self-accountability, that fires up those problem-solving engines. It forces blood right back to the prefrontal cortex because you're telling your brain, hey, this is on me to fix.
Okay, so accountability literally turns the engine on. That leads perfectly into the self-sourced quotes you're supposed to find for day 3. I actually pulled this one from Niccolo Machiavelli. "Where the willingness is great, the difficulties cannot be great." Approaching this again through a psychological lens, it's fascinating how intrinsic motivation literally shrinks our mental perception of obstacles.
It really does, perceptually speaking. When your intrinsic drive is high, your amygdala, which is your brain's threat detector, it just stops coding the obstacle as a danger.
It hands it over to the reward centers instead, right?
Exactly, like a puzzle to solve. The mountain hasn't actually shrunk, obviously, but your brain's fear of climbing it has completely disappeared.
That is so fascinating. So, what did you pull for your self-sourced quote?
I went with Pat Riley for this one. There are only two options regarding commitment. You're either in or you're out. There's no such thing as life in between.
Okay, I have to challenge that a bit. Does being half in actually burn more mental calories? Because, people usually hedge their bets specifically to save energy.
It is actually the exact opposite. Think of partial commitment, like keeping 20 tabs open on your web browser.
Oh, I hate that.
Right, it silently drains your battery in the background because your working memory is constantly evaluating and reevaluating whether or not to engage. It causes this massive cognitive drag.
Decision fatigue.
Yes, constant decision fatigue. A binary in or out commitment closes all those background tabs. The decision is made once, so your neurons can focus 100% of their energy strictly on execution.
So by combining these reflection quotes with Law 9's mental code rewrites, like excuses are expensive, we're basically installing a cognitive software patch to stop that energy drain.
Precisely. But you have to actively install it. That's why today's specific task is to select one workbook, quote, source one of your own, and physically add them to your daily practice page.
Why physical writing, though? Why can't you just read them on your phone or, I don't know, copy and paste them?
Because typing or reading is just too automated. Physically drawing the letters forces your motor cortex to sync up with your memory centers. It leverages neuroplasticity. It demands focus, which actually thickens the neural pathway for that specific thought.
It embeds the concept deeper into your memory.
Exactly. It makes it stick.
So to summarize your new 3 times a day practice stack, you will now review 2 quotes, 3 distill points, and 3 code rewrites.
It's literally how you build the mental infrastructure to succeed.
And tomorrow, for day 4, you're going to dive into the chapter formula to systematically terminate excuses the second they pop up. It's going to be great.
I really can't wait for that one.
But before we go, I want to leave you with a final thought. If your brain naturally seeks the comfort of excuses just to save energy, what incredible things could you accomplish if you rewired it to crave the friction of a challenge instead?